Jeff, and good afternoon, 4 p.m. My name is Paul, if I haven't met you, it's great to be here. This is the start of Holy Week, and I think in Sydney, we don't do that particularly well. We're not good at stopping and reflecting. And so can I encourage you this particular Holy Week just to take 5 minutes each day just to stop. Just to stop what you're doing and to reflect, to ponder what was happening that first Easter 2,000 years ago. To help you do that, every day at 10 a.m. you'll get an email from me that will have one of the words of the last words of Jesus on the cross on it. It will have a piece of art, if that's the way that you reflect. It will have a poem, and it will have a hymn. And so just take 5 minutes to reflect on that. Today is Palm Sunday, and when you came in, you should have got a palm cross. Hold on to that for the whole year. Put it in your Bible, or put it on the mirror in your bathroom, or put it in your car. And every time you see that cross, you're supposed to say Hosanna, which means, help me, Lord. And then next year on Ash Wednesday, you bring your palm cross, and we'll have an Ash Wednesday service. And we burn your palm crosses as we start Lent for 2026. Does that make sense? But today's Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is about Jesus being king. Jesus is the king. Elvis Presley said this, I am not the king. I'm just an entertainer. Jesus Christ is the king. And what he says is true. I'm not the king. And you are not the king, and your boss is not the king, and the prime minister is not the king. I don't control everything, and you don't control everything. I don't know everything, you don't know everything, but Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ is the king of my life. One of my favorite moments of the whole year in our household is Christmas Day lunch, and we have this massive table, and we all sit around as one big family around the family table. We feast on Christmas Day. And then we pull the Christmas bonbons, those Christmas crackers. Inside you've got a tacky gift and a bad joke and a little paper crown. And in my household, if you come for Christmas lunch, it's compulsory that you must wear your crown for the whole lunch. And I love that moment because we sit around the table with our little paper crowns on. And in many ways, it's this visual picture of what is happening in many of our lives. Deep down, we think that we're in control. With our little crowns on, we think that we're in charge. And so we plan our lives, we plot out our next week, our next month, our next year, and we decide what we will do. And when it doesn't happen, we get frustrated. We think we know everything. We think that our way is the right way. And when I moved to Australia 22 years ago, I was struck by how anti-authoritarian Australians really are. We don't like being told what to do. If you remember COVID a few years ago, we hated that. No one can tell me what to do and where to go and where I can't go. I see it in the schools when the teacher says to our kids, do this. My nine-year-old says, why? Why should I do that? You see it in your workplace. Your boss says, do this. And you say, no, I'm not doing that. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like the idea there's somebody who is in charge. But as Elvis says, I am not in charge, and you are not in charge, and our leaders are not in charge, but there is a King of Kings. There is a Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus is King. And the Bible said that way beyond Kanye West ever did. Jesus is King. And that is Palm Sunday. The triumphant entry that the King Jesus enters Jerusalem, heading for the cross, heading for the crucifixion. And as he comes, the people shout out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King. It's pretty obvious. Matthew's Gospel makes it more personal. It says, see, your King comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. Your King, your Messiah, your boss. So Palm Sunday is about Jesus making his grand entrance. And I love a grand entrance. As a pastor, I get to do hundreds of weddings. And the most beautiful moment in a wedding is when those doors open and everyone stands and the bride makes her entrance. I mean, no offense, blokes, but no one's looking at you, looking at the bride. As she walks in, everyone goes, oh, wow. Or have you ever been to a pop concert? The artist makes a grand entrance. They come down on a trapeze or up through the stage and there's smoke and there's pyrotechnics. Or if you like footy, the football team at the grand final, they run on the pitch at a grand entrance. There's glitter, there's fireworks, there's confetti. So how does the king of this world make his grand entrance? There's no fanfare, there's no fireworks, there's no golden carriage, there's no Popemobile. They kind of lay out a red carpet, but they put down cloaks and palm branches, because when this king comes, he comes riding on a donkey. A donkey, yes. He's not the king that they expected. He's not the king on his ivory throne dispensing wisdom. He's not the warrior king dressed for battle. He's not a dictator king. He is gentle, he is humble, and he's riding a donkey. He's the king who weeps over a city. He's the king who invites you to come to him when you are weary and find your rest. Got 4 points about this king. He is the sovereign king. That word just means he is ruling. He's a sovereign king. He's ruling. He's reigning. He is in charge. He has the power. He knows everything. He sees everything. Do you spot that in our reading? Jesus said two disciples, that probably Peter and John, and said, go to that village, and when you enter it, you'll find a donkey or a colt that's never been ridden. Untie it. And the disciples did what they were told. They found it just as he had told them. So Jesus knew exactly where that donkey would be, and he knew exactly what the owner would say. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knows everything. He has this kind of divine foreknowledge. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. Even the cross didn't take him by surprise. I love this truth about my king, because if he is sovereign, if he is in control, it means that nothing happens to me that he doesn't know about. Nothing. He's in control of everything, the big and small in life. He is sovereign over sickness, suffering, demons, disease, and even death. It's like Jesus is always in the driving seat of your life. His hands are always on the wheel of your life, and you're just along for the ride. He knows everything. He knows when that sickness is going to happen. He knows when that relationship is going to end. He knows where you will go and who you will meet and what will happen. And that is not scary. That's comforting. Spurgeon said this, when you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. I'll say that again. When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. In our home above the fireplace, there are three verses of Scripture. And one of those verses is from Psalm 139. And it says this, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, God, before one of them came to be. And that verse was chosen by my now wife, Rachel. It's one of her favorite verses in the whole Bible. And she chose it because it took on a special meaning for her almost 20 years ago. Because if you know her story, she was married before to a man called Ben, and he died of leukemia, leaving her a widow when she was 27 and leaving Sam fatherless at 6 months old. And that verse became everything to her. She said, God knew that I was going to be a widow aged 27. God knew that Sam would grow up without his dad. I don't like that. I would never choose that. But I believe that God knew that, and God's in control of that. It's beautifully comforting to know God's got it and God's got you. And when you believe in the sovereignty of King Jesus, it frees you from this fear The fear of tomorrow, the fear of the future, the fear of the unknown, it frees you from this need to control everything. It frees you from those if-only moments. If only I'd done this, if only I hadn't done this. There's no if-onlys. Because behind every event, every decision is an all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign, good king. And maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe that's Palm Sunday for you, to really believe that God is sovereign over all things. Let King Jesus run his world. Let King Jesus rule your life. Surrender to him. That's the word, surrender. If he's on his throne, you surrender. What he says you should do, you should do. What he brings into your life is going to be good. So you surrender. The second point is that Jesus is a servant king. Not just sovereign, but a servant. Matthew 21, verse 5. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. A donkey. Kings ride horses, not donkeys. Think Alexander the Great rode into the city in a great white war horse. This king, King Jesus, comes not in pomp and ceremony, but in humility. You don't get more humble than a donkey. He's a servant king. He came not to be served, but to serve. Think of his birth, born in a barn. Think of his life. No place to call home, no palace, no privileges. Think of his friends. He hung out with outcasts, marginalized, prostitutes, the sick, the suffering, the sinners. Think of his attitude. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He stooped low and he washed feet. Think about this entry on Palm Sunday. It doesn't get more humble than this. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. Gentle. That's the word used, gentle. Not harsh. Not abusive. Not a dictator king, but a gentle king. The word there for gentle is the word used of a parent. So tucking their child in to say goodnight. Have you ever done that if you've got children? Your kids are lying asleep and you tiptoe into the bedroom and they're fast asleep and you tuck them in, you gently put the hand on their head and say, you are so precious to me. That's the word used there. That Jesus thinks that you are precious, so he's gentle with you. He healed people with a gentle touch. He encouraged the disheartened with a gentle word. Zechariah 9, that it's quoting from, is slightly different. It says the word righteous and riding on the donkey. Righteous, or the word there is just. So he's gentle and he's just. No corruption, no lies. So much of the problems in the world is because of corrupt leaders who lie. You know, most of the world's poverty and most of the world's suffering stems from corrupt leaders who have no regard for justice. Jesus sought justice for the oppressed, for the marginalized, for the poor and for the needy, and for the women. I love Handel's Messiah, and top tip, listen to Handel's Messiah this week. It's incredible. What was fascinating is that Handel was not a gentle man. Handel was actually quite abusive and quite harsh. But he demanded that every performance of the Messiah, that all the proceeds should be given to the marginalized, the poor, and the needy. Do you know that? So the first 100 years, wherever it was performed, all the proceeds went to the poor and the marginalized and the needy. And I love that an abusive, nasty man is actually mimicking what Jesus would have him do, being kind and gentle towards others. And so if Jesus is a servant king, what does that mean for you and I? I find it interesting the first disciples chose that word servant to describe themselves. So Paul, a servant of Christ, Peter, a servant of Christ. So if you're claiming to follow Jesus this Palm Sunday, the call for you is to be a servant. The call for you is to mimic Jesus, to be humble like Jesus, to be gentle like Jesus, to be just like Jesus, to live in this world and to be different. If you're claiming to be a servant of Jesus, you get rid of your pride and you get rid of your arrogance and you get rid of your desire to be a somebody. I hope you don't walk into church saying, "Hello, here I am, look at me." And I hope you don't go into the office tomorrow and say, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." Because if anybody had the right to say, "Look at me," it was King Jesus, but he didn't. He was so humble, so servant-hearted. And if we claim to follow Jesus, let's be like him. A sovereign king, a servant king, a savior king. That was his mission. That's why he came, to save. Did you hear what the crowd shouted? "Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David." That word, Hosanna. We don't use that word much. It hasn't caught on, really. And we think the word Hosanna just means praise, praise. But it doesn't. It doesn't mean praise at all. It means help. Help. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. So when the people say Hosanna, they're saying, "Lord, I need your help." Or, "You're the one who helps," literally. "My helper." And I hope you know that you need help. You need saving, not from the financial crisis or from Tavis, but from your sin. You need help from all the ways that you try to rule your life your way. And what struck me this week was the same crowd who shouted Hosanna are the same crowd that on Friday are shouting Crucify. The same people who say Hail the King are shouting Nail him to the cross. So when they shout help, they don't understand. He's about to help them. He's about to go to Calvary. He's about to be crucified with that sign over his head saying, "This is Jesus, the supposed King of the Jews." Ha! This was God's plan. He came to Jerusalem to be crucified so that you and I can be forgiven. He came to give his life so that you and I might have life. That's what we need. We need a Savior. A lot of little details in our passage, you might have missed it. It's a Savior Jesus riding on a colt, a young donkey which has never, ever been ridden. So he's riding an animal which is without blemish, a perfect animal that would have been perfect for a sacrifice, except the animal is not sacrificed. Jesus, the rider of the animal, is sacrificed. And those palm branches, it's so ironic. The palm branches is a symbol of victory. Do you know that? So they're shouting, "Help," as they wave victory. And now you're getting Palm Sunday? The victorious Savior King who has victory over sin and death and the devil. And every time you shout, "Help," he says, "That's right, I have helped you. You have the victory in Jesus Christ." And so my question is, have you ever cried out, "Hosanna"? You ever called out, "Lord, help me"? I hope you know that no one is beyond saving. You know the man who wrote the most, probably most famous hymn, "Amazing Grace"? Now, he was a slave trader. He wasn't beyond helping. If you've ever done the Alpha Course, there's a man there who's a mass murderer who came to Christ. Or Rosaria Champagne Butterfield, what a great name that is. Rosaria Champagne Butterfield, she said this, "As a leftist lesbian professor, I despise Christians. And then I suddenly became one." No one's too bad for Jesus. No one's too good for Jesus. Please don't think you're good enough for Jesus. So Jesus is your sovereign king. He's in charge. He's your servant king who serves you. He's your savior king who saves you and helps you. And then lastly, he's your coming king. Because ultimately, Palm Sunday is a bit like a prequel. If you ever watched the Star Wars movie, you know, number 4, that was the first one, but it wasn't the first one. There was a prequel, 1, 2, and 3. Well, Palm Sunday is a bit like a prequel to what's about to happen, because the king has come, Jesus has come on a donkey. And then he went to the cross, and then he went to the grave, and then he ascended to heaven, but the king is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. And this time he really will make a grand entrance. This time there will be fireworks and fanfares and a trumpet call and flashes of lightning. And he'll come not riding on a donkey, he'll come riding on a white horse with a tattoo saying, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this time he'll come in power and in glory. It's going to be a great day, a glorious day. And on that day, you will get a crown. You'll get a crown, not a paper crown from a Christmas bonbon, but you'll get a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give you. As he says, well done, good and faithful servant. So are you ready for that day? Are you longing for that day when Jesus comes again? I'll finish with this story. There's a house in Italy. It's a magnificent mansion. And if you go there, the gardens are the most spectacular, most beautiful gardens you've ever seen. And one day a tourist visited the house and was speaking to the head gardener. He said this, your gardens are magnificent. Your boss must be so proud and take great delight in these beautiful gardens. And he said this, my boss lives overseas. I have served him for 40 years, and he's never been back to visit them even once. He's never seen these gardens. He said, but you keep these gardens as if he was coming back tomorrow. No, sir, I keep these gardens as if he was coming back today. And my question on Palm Sunday is, are you keeping your life, your gardens, as though your king is coming back today? Are you living today as these humble, gentle, just people who are saying, help me, Lord? Do you wake up each day and say, it could be today, could be today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That is Palm Sunday. King Jesus has come. Your Savior King, your Servant King, your Sovereign King, who is coming again. So I'll invite the musos up and we're going to stand. Please stand with me. And we're going to say this prayer together. We'll come up on the screen. You respond with the words in bold. So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus, as you entered Jerusalem on a donkey, people laid palm branches in front of you. Help us to lay down our lives in surrender before you. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem humbly, gentle, as our servant king. Help us to be gentle, humble servants for you. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem on a donkey to fulfill the scriptures. Help us to live according to your word. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem as a savior king to be crucified and resurrected. Help us to die to our old selves and to live for you. And Lord Jesus, you promised that you would come again. Come, King Jesus.